Sack Gamers Podcast. Welcome to the Rusak Gamers Podcast, number 139, and the wrap-up episode of our Torchbearer campaign. We'll get right to the episode tonight. This is a non-gaming episode where we answer some listener questions and give our own thoughts on Torchbearer. As always, comments, critique, and general feedback can be left in our voicemail, 502-4141-RU. That's 502-4141-766. Send us email, roy@rusakgamers.com. Look for us on Facebook, Google+, Twitter, our blog, our RPGCrosstalk.com forum, on Stitcher, or even iTunes. And hey, leave us a quick message or a review. Enjoy the show.
Recording now.
We are recording now.
Okay.
Good evening.
I don't know why you don't record the the warm-up stuff that we do before you hit the record button, because that is podcast gold.
You think?
I do.
Really?
I do.
Because the levels are crazy, that's why.
All right.
Because none of y'all talking to the microphone.
What are you talking about?
I always talk in the microphone. That's
how's
why
that?
I get the headphones.
I still haven't found that again. Victoria took them someplace. I don't know where they are.
Yeah, I was going to ask, did your daughter take them?
Guess who got stalked this week? By Sean K. Reynolds.
You did.
He stalked you?
He used his personal Facebook account to friend me.
Oh, Roy,
I am so proud.
Man, so
you
happy.
You must be happy.
I guess this means the EPO is gone now.
No, it's not.
No,
his kid must be playing on the computer.
Yeah. So,
who's this, Dad?
His kid
across it.
Did you change your pants afterwards?
I did. It was very special.
Oh, I'm a friend.
Okay. So tonight we're going to do a wrap-up of Jeff's epic Torchbearer campaign. Well worth the wait.
Epic.
This is Roy. I'm going to be controlling this, I think. To my left across the radio dial is...
I'm Joe. I'm the Torchbearer hater of the group, I think. Not hater, but
I'm
a bit
hater,
more,
you know,
critical
hater
than
haters.
Got to
hate
games.
Haters
got to
hate.
I'm Jeff, and I'm gonna be the Torchbearer apologist tonight.
You're doing the walk of shame tonight.
I'm just Todd.
I'm Jason.
I'm Doug.
Okay, so what we're gonna do is we got a few questions from listeners. We're gonna start off with that, and we're gonna just see where that takes us. Okay, guys.
Viewer mail.
Yeah.
That was a little too excited, wasn't it?
Sorry.
Hello, Roy.
Long
time listener, first time caller. I've got a question.
You should cut that out so you play it before every segment.
So what kind of dice do you use? What color they are? And when you roll them, do you use your left or right hand? I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
Always a good question. What kind
They're
of dice?
They're pink or purple.
And right hand whenever possible.
From our blog, Chris writes, it seems like Torchbearer will reward those
good.
Who are willing to play by the rules with some really amazing emergent play. He says, I loved how the group all of a sudden turned into a barbershop singing trio that was singing the praises of paladins and dwarves.
Oh, okay. I remember that one.
Yeah, that was great. That said, the rules do seem really fiddly, and I think you would need to have players who are A, committed to the rules set as written, and B, pretty experienced players, or at least interested in system mastery. Discuss.
Well, when that event happened, actually, I think that was the first game.
Yeah, I think it was.
And, yeah. When I looked at it, as a GM, it kind of put me off my chow because one of the things that I think they tried to tie down, and I think this goes to his fiddly bits part of the question.
Fiddly bits, by the way,
dibs on the next halfling name.
Fiddly bits.
Okay. I'm going to be
Master Bits.
Right. Fiddly bits. So, Master Bits. So I think the rules are a little bit more, I want to interpret the rules a little more narrowly than that at the time, because otherwise, if you don't, I think the game can get too much into, you know, well, I'm singing about whatever we're talking about, so that should apply. I have singing and we're singing, you know, I'm going to sing about, you know, warfare, you know, so I should be able to get a bonus on my siege or something.
Bards, baby, bards.
Yeah. Those rules are written in. But,
ink.
So I'm not sure what he means by fiddly bits, but I think you do have to, you do have to interpret them a little bit more narrowly. But I do think the broader, it's okay to use the nature and the aspects and the nature, a little more broadly to apply to certain skills and things. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Anybody?
Todd looks like he's gone catatonic.
Right. And this will tie in because I think we got a question later about comparing it to Burning Wheel.
Yeah. Okay, so the singing is a bit of a stretch to use it every time that
something
is going on.
I mean,
but the game is so difficult. Why not stretch everything that you can out of every – I mean, and the magic for the elves and for the dwarves is basically about singing. So – to me, I think the game lends itself to, yes, sing about what you can, do whatever you can to make these rolls because the game is ridiculously difficult.
I think the skills are so broad. Mm-hmm. It's designed for you to figure out a crazy way to use a skill as long as the GM's cool with it.
Well, and I think my hang up is people would start off with the skill as opposed to saying, I do X, Y, and Z, and then we back into the skill that way, as opposed to, you know, cause I think that's, and I think that comes to us, you know, from just being beaten into us by like Pathfinder and D&D and stuff. You like, you get the skill. Well, I've got the skill. I roll my die and away we go.
Well,
but this is, you know, and I think the Burning Wheel games, Burning Wheel Headquarter games, they want you to start off with what's your action and then we'll find out what it is, you know, how we're going to do it because, you know, when they talk about, whoever comes up with the idea, that's the doer.
Right.
You know, if so-and-so, you know, if the mage says, well, attack him with your sword, well, pretty much go get him, dude.
Yeah.
You know, get him, Ray.
The only problem I have with that approach of it, go, this is what I want to do, what do you have the skills? It's fine to fail every now and then. It's fine to even, you know, fail 40% of the time, but you want to succeed. Okay. So if you suddenly see an idea that you think, oh man, that's so cool. I want to do this. I don't have any skills for it. I've got to open it. It's so much more difficult. If I do it now, I'm probably not going to do it. It's another turn. You know, it begins to weigh on you.
Well, Todd, I just want to throw that to Todd though. What do you think about that?
About which part?
About, because I think, you're going to have a different philosophy about that. You know, I think it'd be cool to do X. I need to open a skill. You're all about that. Hold on.
I'm fine with that too, but to a certain percentage.
Well, let Todd answer, because Todd doesn't, because I don't think Todd, and I'll let you, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think you care if you fail.
No, I don't care if I fail. No, I mean, see, I guess it's coming from Burning Wheel and Burning Empires. I mean, I've seen you guys sit there and go, oh gosh, yeah, let him fail because that's cooler. You know, we've all sat there and done that. And I don't mind the failure per se because, I mean, you're throwing yourself out there because we're playing five sessions?
Yeah.
Four, something
five
like
sessions.
That?
Five, not including the generation.
Okay.
Right?
So we play five sessions. I mean, and to me, this is just an extended con game because, I mean,
And by con, you mean convention.
Convention game, yeah. So if you're not throwing everything out there, it's like the game that Jeff and I played one time where the guy is trying to save his character at a con game, and we're going, what are you doing? You're never going to play this guy again.
He's like, I run. And the three other players at the table looked at each other like, you what?
Why? You know, we're battling the bad guys. And that's kind of what you are here. I mean, let it all out, and then, you know, it's... You shoot for the moon, and maybe you get halfway there, and it's still fun.
Yeah, but in Burning Wheel, you learn by failing, okay? And that's the fun part. That's the mechanic. Okay, you fail, that's fine. You eventually get better and better and better, and you still will succeed a percentage of the time. With Torchbearer, I never felt like we were ever succeeding.
No, but you still.
And it wasn't fun because even when we did succeed, it was like, well, crap, we just succeeded, but now we're all hungry and thirsty again,
well,
or exhausted.
Well, you learn by failing there, too, just because the skill advancement says that you have to have so many passes and so many fails. So you have to fail to even get better.
Sure.
As with anything.
But your passes are still failures too, because you're being weighed down by the
well, you might be weighed down, but I mean, the whole idea behind this and that, cartoon or whatever, that drawing that you sent.
the devolution of a character.
And you need to post that on there.
I really wanted to. In fact, I wanted to use it as our headliner on Facebook, but I didn't know if I could. I didn't want to post something without somebody's permission.
Did you try to get permission?
I tried to email somebody, but I never got anything back.
But anyway, when you're sitting there and you're looking at this game, and that's what this game is, you start out fresh, you don't stay there long. Then you start out hungry, you don't stay there long either. And then you keep going down and down and down. And that's the way that this game is played. I mean, there's no bones about it. You're going to die.
Well, one of the things that they talk about, because I've gone back and I've looked at the forums too, and one of the things that they point on the forums, and when I say they, I mean the, you know, like Luke and Tor and them, is that the further you are from a city, the more difficult the adventure is going to be. I mean, if you've got a place where you can go.
Oh, right. Adventure, you put us in a meat grinder right away. Is that what you're telling us?
Deal with it. So you go to, but you all were on an island. I mean, if you all had gotten really rough shape and said, we want to go and call back the ship, I would have let you. I mean, I would have let you if you wanted to, you know, regroup. But I think the philosophy behind the game is it's almost that philosophy of like Call of Cthulhu, where it's about it. I mean, I think the chapter's called The Grind. Mm-hmm. I mean, they grind. I mean, it's to grind you down. And as a GM and as a player, the games I like are where, and I've said this before, I don't know if I've ever said it like when we're recording, but I think my philosophy is my objective. I mean, yes, your character needs to fail, but fail in ways that you like, you know, that the players and the GM, everybody is cool with, but you want your character to be cool, essentially. I mean, I want my guy to be pretty cool. I want him to be able to do this stuff and do these things. And, you know, when I play characters, I like my character's failures to be, you know, cool because they fit the character. But everybody needs to feel like their character does what they do pretty well and succeeds. They don't have to succeed all the time, but you don't want your character to just feel like some, you know, dude just gets beat down, you know, death of a salesman. What's
Lenny. Not Lenny.
I don't know. Wrong one.
Anyway,
main character,
like the protagonist of Death of a Salesman, you know, where you just can't get a break.
Yeah.
So, and that it makes the game less fun. You know, you eventually got to.
And I think Joe's on the same page with me. I mean, that's the way I was beginning to feel.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, which is why I'm glad we kind of ended on a pseudo high note.
My problem with the game is
Willie Loman.
Is that it's
thank you.
I had to
Lenny, look it up.
Lenny Woman.
Yeah, Lenny was of Mice and Men.
Yes.
So.
Yeah.
So
tell me about the rabbits, George.
With, you know, failing and it being cool, like in Mouse Guard, I think that in and of itself is really neat, and it can push the story in different directions. But I think centering the whole game system around failing and being hungry and oh, now I'm tired and oh God, now I'm constipated. You know, I think that centering the whole entire game around that, it doesn't work.
Honestly, it's not fun.
I
don't think that the game itself is centered around that. We were thrown into a grinder to begin with. It's like Jeff said. I mean, we were thrown way out of a city. We were, and that's fine. I mean, it doesn't matter, but we're still trying to figure out what's what in this game.
Right.
And we're thrown out there, and every failure that you have has consequences. And what we didn't know when we started out was the consequences are really, really high. But I mean, if you think about it, if I took the five of us or six of us or how many we're playing, and threw you out in the middle of the desert, okay, just as you are, and said, all right, you've got some water and some food, but you got no way to communicate to anybody, go. So if you said, hey, I'm just going to run up to the top of that hill or that mountain
that's 2,000 feet to try to get somebody to notice us. Well, shoot, go right on ahead. But guess what? If you fail and trip and fall, you're going to die. So that's kind
I
of
I think
what
that's a bit of an exaggeration.
No, it is, and it's meant to be a bit of an exaggeration.
If somebody would make it to the top of the hill, we're not all going to end up hungry, tired, injured, thirsty.
And also at the same time, in Torchbearer, when you make it to the top of the hill, you're still screwed anyways because, like you said, you're hungry, tired, exhausted, and injured, you know, all that.
As
because
you had to go up.
Well, all right. Well,
but then you don't really feel like it's a success.
But no, wait. Back up. On several of the rolls. And I'm not trying to be defensive.
We roll badly.
Here. Well, you roll badly, but you still succeeded in what you did. You just got what you wanted plus something else happened.
It was a cost.
And well, but it was a twist.
It's still a cost.
But conditions are different. Conditions are different. And
that was
I would
a question
point
I had
out,
about conditions real quick. Yeah, when you got a condition, were you not supposed to have a turn or did you get a turn and you always got a
at the end of every fourth turn.
When you did something and made a roll.
Yeah.
If you got a condition, did you still also get a turn? Or if you got a...
What do you mean a turn?
A turn on a thing. You got a check on your turn.
It always costs you...
A turn to do something.
A turn. Whenever somebody rolls the dice.
Even if you got a condition on it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, when you use the turn, you get it, and the result could be a condition, and that's what happens every fourth turn, is you definitely get conditions. But if it makes sense for what happened in that
yeah, condition's not what I meant. Something bad.
Yeah, you
happening.
It costs a turn. Yeah. It's every four turns. Tick, tick, tick. And see, that was the other thing is that in Burning Empires has sort of the same mechanic. That scene economy.
Yeah.
It's not, you get basically four scenes, right? And that's similar to this, but they're very specific about the types of scenes that you can get. And I really like that, for Burning Empires. Here, you've got the four turns that you can basically get. And if somebody says, I want to do X, Y, Z, and nobody stops him, Todd, then it starts counting up. And I mean, there were times when I would say, and Todd had very good reasons for doing it.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I need one more check to do this. And, you know, he wasn't doing it just to screw people over, but Todd was like, I want to do this. And he's like, are you sure? It doesn't sound like it's something you want to burn that turn on. And he goes, no, I want to do it. And away you go. The other thing is when you get into, and maybe I played it wrong and maybe it needs some kind of fiddling around with, like you get into a big combat, you either make it a combat. Say this is a conflict, or you resolve it all with one, all of it, because you would get into you running away. Mm-hmm. I'm pointing at Todd, his paladin running away, Joe and Jason's characters firing the arrows at the roof, and then you guys breaking, you and Roy breaking out of the thing, and then suddenly, boom, you've gone through where
three checks.
You're right, and
three
a
turns,
but right. A conflict. Only it probably should have been a conflict because then you've gone through three turns as opposed to just saying we want to call this a conflict and it all gets lumped into one.
Right. So every one of those things turns it in a conflict, it's one turn, those individual things are now maneuvers.
Yeah. And that's probably my fault. That's my fault. Because we did the first game and I did like two conflicts right away but they were minor. And then we got into that whole thing. You all lost the first, you all.
We didn't lose. We just lost a lot of ours.
Yeah. You lost with the pirates and stuff. And that just turned out badly because you all chose to do got into an argument with them and they happened to have the skills that they were able to, compete with you equal playing field. And then the wolf and the guard and all that stuff, fighting a guard and his wolf should not be a conflict. I mean, I keep thinking about that, kicking myself. It's like, stupid. It's dumb. Why would you do that? But wolf's pretty cool thing to fight.
Yeah.
And then the big fight, I did that as a bunch of individual rounds. So I don't want you guys and Joe to judge the game too harshly because of my learning curve.
No, it look,
not at all.
Some of it just got, some of the turn-based thing is what to me got in the way. Okay. I didn't have any problem with a lot of the big stuff. I mean, the direwolf, I thought that was fine. The conflict with the pirates, I didn't have any problem with that. But then it comes down to, Joe wants to hide his dagger. Well, I don't really want to hide my dagger because I don't want to have it turned. Oh no, that's a great idea. Todd hides the dagger. You know, and gets nothing for it because he fails.
I tried.
And then we got a turn and you lost your holy symbol and.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, the dagger wasn't hurt or it wasn't right. broken.
Well, I didn't do anything to his. I mean, yeah, because his, but he, Todd because did Todd it. Took yeah. it and I didn't want to punish Joe for Todd taking his
well,
knife.
But you can.
And,
I mean, if it comes out in the future, you can punish Joe instead of
But
him.
In the real world, my knee like pain. In the real world, me pitching my dagger behind a rock wouldn't constitute
that probably should
that
have just
big
been
of a deal.
Yeah, go ahead.
That's my thing. See, this
well, no, but it wasn't that so much. I mean, but they were there. They were on you. They were coming to you, and you wanted
well,
to discreetly. Yeah, but you wanted to discreetly hide the dagger where you could access it, not just chuck your dagger into
he
the woods.
He didn't want them to take it, yeah. So he wanted to be able to get it after he got off the boat, sure, assuming he got it off the boat.
But I think it deserved a role. I mean, under the conditions.
I do like the idea of what we've talked about before that. If we're all in a, not a conflict, but in a scenario where Roy and Doug are outside and Jason and I are inside and Joe's on the other side, then a turn should be Joe goes, I go, Roy goes, and then, all right, we've all done something this turn. That counts as our turn, not Joe goes, that's a turn. Roy goes, that's a turn. I go, that's a
yeah,
turn.
Yeah, but then we're hacking a system. Again.
Well, because but essentially I mean, what that means is I get to do one thing before I'm hungry, thirsty, tired, and constipated.
Exactly.
And then I get to do one thing, and then I'm screwed again. And then I get to do one thing. And pass or fail, it doesn't really matter.
Well, that's
because
that's,
I do one thing, and then I'm screwed again.
And that kind of boils down to me with, you know, splitting the party getting divided, and part of that's my fault. Because, and what that does is it forces you guys to, you're making the same checks and you're doing basically the same type of stuff that you would want to do anyway, but you have less help from other people. Nobody can aid you. And so you have a better chance of failing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But at the same time, I'm sitting back with my character and Doug's character. We're sitting back with the bandits. I'm like, I'm not doing anything. I mean, cause all that's going to do is going to eat up turns.
Right.
And I don't feel like I've got any way of succeeding because no one's here to help. So it's like, yeah, I'm fine. I'll sit here. Doug?
At that point in the game, my character was sick,
injured,
and angry. Now, what that means is that -1 on all die rolls for being sick, -1 on all die rolls for being hungry, for being injured, and any die roll doesn't count as a test for being angry. So at that point, my character was pointless. There's nothing I, at first level, there's nothing I could do. None of my skill, only one of my skills was above a 2.
So you felt like Joe.
At that point, I would have had to burn, persona to be able to make a roll. I couldn't help. Helping wouldn't even count anyway.
Yeah.
So at that, I think the way the conditions are laid out are cool, but at first level, once you have any 2 of those, there was nothing I could do that game except screw Todd to get the checks.
thank you, by the way.
Well, I screw you for the checks.
And I couldn't make
a test otherwise.
I didn't look at that, but I wonder if I think it's the person that has to make the roll.
See, and if that's the case, I couldn't screw him for the
and
checks.
You couldn't
and
do
I couldn't
anything.
Make a test well, to make the checks.
Well, I thought it was good the
at
way you did
point,
it. I like
dead weight.
I like the way it played. Mm-hmm. I still like the way it played, but
sure.
If I go back and look at the rules, I'm not sure if that would even fit.
Yeah.
And my question is maybe it's not, maybe 4 is too short. Maybe it needs to be 6. Check maybe 6
turns.
or well I don't know maybe there's
or you can get rid of the turns
yeah but no, no you
no,
can't
no.
you can't
again mouse guard does
you,
it right
you can't get rid of the turns in this game because it screws up the entire mechanic because you've got no incentive
no
but
keep the mechanics but make sure that the drinking and all that other stuff is free.
The drinking is free.
Drinking
oh,
is
okay.
free.
Well then it's fine.
No but I'm wondering if there's
never
like,
mind.
I'm wondering if there's maybe a mathematical formula for the number of players you have.
I'd be curious to know if they, something like that during playtest.
Yeah, like 3 turns, you know.
One turn per character.
One turn per character, yeah. But they also say the sweet spot is, like 3 to 5 characters. 6 is almost unwieldy. But we, I don't think we ever really, except the first game, I don't think we ever had 6 players.
Right. Second game, actually, I think.
No, because.
Oh, that's right, because Bill came in.
Bill was here.
Bill wasn't here for character creation. He was here for the first game.
Yeah, right. So we had 5. And we were also at, we were also at max capacity on what they recommend for the game. Right. So, you know, I tend to think, we'll give it a little bit of time. Maybe we'll come back and try it again later. But I'm not pushing to do it right now because I don't want to spoil everybody's, I don't want to
good
spoil
time.
It. Yeah. I don't want to drive in the ground because I also know that, Doug wasn't having a good time because he felt like he couldn't do anything. Joe wasn't having a good time because he was frustrated with the system.
In my defense, and I think Luke Crane makes a great game, and Jeff, you are a great GM. You have a great command over the rules, and it's nothing about the story that you were telling. I would love to play this story in a different rule setting that we could actually explore. The problem is that, you know, I wanted to dig around under the mansion. I wanted to find out what was up with the frogmen, but I knew I'd be sick, tired, thirsty, and
constipated
before I even got to the tunnel.
He's like, can I have a roll to figure it out? Yes. Yeah. You succeed and drop dead.
All this,
I knew it.
Yeah, it's like, I understand.
And I have a problem with games that inject things to make them challenging just for the sake of, like, in video games when they give you limited ammunition or they limit your save points. Or they want to make the game challenging, but they do it with kind of bullcrap ways to make it challenging,
like Dark Soul.
Well, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, reference. I don't understand. Yeah.
It's the hardest video game ever. Mm-hmm. You can't save, and when you die, you start over again.
Pac-Man.
Wow, nice.
It's
yeah. You
I
lose
played
your
it
gear.
For about 3 days and then put it back on the shelf and never picked it up again.
Pac-Man.
People love it. Pac-Man's fun.
Okay, so, all right, now let's, did we answer the first question?
I mean,
we kind of drifted.
Hold on. Sitting there going, that's the dumbest answer I've ever heard.
I do want to go back to something that Roy said, though, since we are talking back, going back to topic. You made the comment about learning a new skill and comparing it to Burning Wheel, and I think you got it backwards.
Did I?
Because in Burning Wheel, only successes count towards learning the skill. And in this game, any test counts. You need a certain number of passes and a certain number of failures. And
I don't think you need successes to get a test.
In Burning Wheel, you did.
No.
Yeah,
no,
you did.
No. No. Any test.
In certain abilities, you did.
To learn.
Passes, like circles, only passes counted.
Yeah. Right. Skills, any test.
Yeah.
Because that was the thing. I mean, because the systems encourages you to try. Because there's the only way to advance is to try.
There is no try.
Yeah.
I do like beginner's luck better than what they did in Burning Wheel, though. I think beginner's luck, where it had an associated skill and you took half of that.
I think in Burning Wheel, that you actually double, you roll the associated skill, but you double the obstacle.
The obstacle, yeah.
Instead of having the dice. I can't think.
Formula?
Brain no worky. There's an equivalence. There's a between the rule sets. I mean, where they do it slightly differently, and probably for mathematical reasons, I'm too dumb to figure out. But I think that they do that. I mean, I think they double it when you try it. What else, Doug? Is that it?
Yeah,
you have to have a certain type of skill. But I couldn't quickly find.
I think
challenging, difficult.
I think
remember that
resources.
Yes, that was the difference.
But you,
and,
yeah.
And Burning Wheel, you had to have so many challenging, so many difficult,
right.
So many.
But it didn't
whatever.
Matter if you passed or failed.
Yeah.
Right, and it didn't matter if you passed or failed. In this game, it was just so many passes and so many fails.
Right.
And I think the beginner luck mechanic, I think, is better than the opening
agree.
A skill mechanic from Burning Wheel.
Yeah. What is it? You got to have. As many, whatever your skill is, you have to have.
Minus your will or something. Like no, will okay. minus.
No, you had to have. No, I'm yeah, talking
10
about.
Minus
torch
bearer. Oh, yeah, yeah.
You had to have
nature.
As many passes, as successes, as your skill, and then as many failures as one minus your skill.
Okay.
Yes.
And in Burning Wheel, I think
there was
it's.
A chart.
I
minus.
Think it's
yeah.
10
in
minus,
wheel,
10 minus your will.
There's a chart, yeah.
Yeah,
or 10
you had to
minus
go look
whatever
it
your
time.
Stat is.
Yeah, yeah, 10 minus the stat.
Okay. So beforehand, we
so
were
he's
talking
had
about.
Bits and...
We were talking about, these questions would, that'd be 30 minutes. 30 minutes from question number one.
Okay, question number two.
It was a very good question.
It was a very good question.
And it's, you know, and it.
Question number two, it's a bit more direct. It's from Facebook, and Anibal writes,
"You suck."
Do you, are you the suckiest podcast, or?
On a level of 1 to 10, how much do you suck?
Are you the most suckiest
podcast? Just says, "You suck?" Question mark.
Go.
That's it.
Rusek Gamers. They suck, or they suck the most.
Don't make fun of Anibal. He's one of our biggest fans on Facebook.
We're not making fun of Anibal. I think he's got a very discerning taste to realize that we suck. Go ahead.
He writes, how do you feel about how the game deals with resource management magic and the stock races?
Is that resource management, magic,
and the stock races? So okay. we can take care of magic right away.
Never got to it.
Yeah, and I'm...
What?
Unfortunately, the way the game's written, Joe, you know, you roll randomly. But, you know, that's a throwback to
first edition,
or original D&D. You got
blue
stuck.
Blue box, red box, that kind of
thing. Yeah, you got stuck with the spell and Tensor's floating disc. You gotta get some treasure before that becomes handy.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you can use it for a lot of different things,
bodies?
Moving things.
Yeah, unless the player is really up for the challenge, we had to do it over again, I'd let make Joe play something.
When I started,
because he's stuck with a dagger, he's got Tensor's floating disc.
Yeah. He saw himself as this magic slinging elven archer. You know, he doesn't even get a bow.
I remember when we played first edition and we were stuck with these rules. It was all right. You could only cast one spell at first level as a mage, but you could. No three, and it was always get a offensive, a defensive, and then roll randomly for that last one. I mean, that would be nice, at least to do something like that. But even roll randomly, I mean, what are you going to get? Detect magic.
And there's not that many, but it's, you know, I think it's like they say, it's an homage. It's a love letter to old school D&D.
So that's magic.
And they were right there. Yeah, so magic, I don't think we really got...
No.
Jason, you actually cast some...
Nope.
Yeah.
He thought about it, but I mean, I was even looking at the one that he had, which was what? Whole person. Whole person. It's not whole person.
Yeah, it's called...
It's word binding.
Word of binding.
Word of binding, which I looked at, is not a whole person. It's to sit there if you've got a rope, it holds the rope in place or something like that.
No, you can tie them up with a rope or something. Yeah. Yeah. Cause they do the same thing. I think there's in, Burning Wheel. One of the spells they've got there is the, where you can tie the metal together. You basically magnetically, you know, it's that type of thing, but.
Well, okay. That's magic. Stock races. I think we can.
I like the stock races.
I did too.
I thought they, and that's something I always really liked. About, you know, when you boil it down to like expert D&D and stuff from years and you know, 30 years ago. But
humans, dwarves, and elves is all we had.
Well, halflings.
Yeah, but they had. But back originally, elves were fighter magic users.
Yeah, they were a class.
Yeah, instead of they fudged the lines between classes and races. And I always thought that was kind of neat.
Mm-hmm. I don't have any qualms about character creation in Torchbearer.
No, it was fun.
I liked it. When we got done with Torchbearer, I liked my character and I was excited to play it.
Yeah, and it's surprisingly, there's a surprisingly large number of variations.
Permutations
that you can get within, the limited choices you've got there.
Yeah.
So, and that's why it's one of the things like in Dungeon World that I really liked is that, in the Dungeon World system, and I'm not talking about some of the other hacks that came after that, like Grimm, but they allow you to, it's like you're an elf, so these are your abilities. Boom, boom, boom. Which also aids character creation and moves and gets you right into the game quick.
Mm-hmm.
So I liked it. Joe, did you like that?
The races, yeah, I thought were fine.
Jason, you played an elf?
No, I played a human.
Didn't you? Oh, okay. I thought there was another elf in the party.
Well, they do.
No?
It does. It
just
is,
the one else.
It did skew human though, because
Bill was halfling.
Yeah, it did skew human though, and that was something else that kind of screwed you. I think that. Well, I don't know how much it screwed you, but Bill couldn't be here, and the oil had counted on him to play the halfling.
Yeah, but that was only going to be for cooking.
When you're hungry and thirsty. Yeah.
At what point in the game
did we cook?
Were we ever going to be able to cook
in camp? Did you see how many rations I threw at you guys? Here, have more rations. Yeah. Have more rations. Would you like some more rations? Here, have some rations. Drink some wine. Yeah, want some wine?
With a check, you could cook and camp for everybody.
Yeah.
And only at what point could we do that in the game?
Well, in our game, not. But I'm saying the way the rules are written.
I understand the rules
are
written. I'm saying in our game. I mean, but what I'm saying is, as much as I like having Bill at the game, his missing his character didn't really hinder us as a party.
We only camped together once.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was with all the bandits. No, that was after we got rid of the bandits.
Yeah. 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 Okay, so the other part of that was, we might have even discussed this already, resource management.
Yeah, Joe hates that.
No, Joe doesn't hate it.
I don't feel like we got into it.
I don't think so either. I don't think that we managed resources much at all.
We never got low on resources.
I think you are looking at the word resources way too narrowly.
It's turns. It's not torches.
Your turns are your resource.
Yeah.
I went in thinking I'm going to have to keep track of every single torch and
it's
ration and candle and water. But that was not nearly as important.
Yeah. It was actually
having the turns.
The turn, sure. You know,
and checks.
And we didn't get, I don't think you all got far enough where you, or you got, I mean, there were instances where, but you all didn't get far enough in where resource management became an issue other than when you lost a specific resource, like Todd losing his holy symbol or
my sword,
or the sword, or, you know, that, the big things. Torches were never an issue. Food wasn't an issue, but time is a resource. And I think
huge.
It says it somewhere in there. Time is the resource.
No, I tell you what, as much as time is a resource, and we were, was the resource when it came to checks, because if you're sick, injured, constipated, all the other things that you can be, and you don't have checks, you're done.
Yeah, but I like the fact that you could share checks.
Well,
yes.
You can still share checks, but I mean, think about it. Unless you're sitting there going, okay, I need to screw myself or screw somebody else over, Doug, and until I do that, I'm not going to get a check, which means I can't heal myself or the party, so I'm going to put myself at a disadvantage just so maybe I can get an advantage when we camp.
And you're actually forced in this system. You're forced to share your checks.
You
are. Because when you're in camp,
if you don't use them, you lose them.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, when you're in camp, you can't make more than one roll in a row.
Yeah, you can't go in two consecutive.
So you
rolls.
Have six, if you have six checks, nobody else, and no one else has anything, you've got to give away three of them to be able to do three things.
Yeah, you got
to. Or you lose them.
One of them.
Three of them. You can't do two checks in a row.
One of them. I make a check. Here, Roy, have a check. You make a check. I make a check.
You have to give away. If I have six checks and you have none, I make my first
you're saying
roll.
The same thing. He's just looking at the big picture.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're looking at each individual back and forth.
Okay, sure.
Salmon mouse guard.
You have to give away the half of your checks in order to be able to do it.
Now, do they earn, you earn checks in mouse guard?
You earn checks in mouse guard by using your traits to screw yourself during.
But there's no turns. You basically have the GM's turn and then the player's turn.
Right.
There are turns because the GM throws stuff at you during his turn and then you do stuff and roll your conditions off in your turn. But it's not 12 or 14 set turns. It's a volley. I go, you go. You can go back and forth.
Yeah. And I wonder if, you
know, I just,
maybe it's heresy. I go back and compare them and see how Torchbearer would play if you didn't get hung up on the turns. You basically just go, but I think what happens is every four you have to get, it's the condition. It's like every four.
Light and rations and water become meaningless at that point then.
We shouldn't go altering the game by saying, hey, we want
to. No, I'm not. Turn. I'm
well,
not going
I,
to.
I mean, no. We're talking about that by hacking the game, and we've played it once. I think we ought to play it, I don't know, two or three more times, or at least two or three more
another
sessions.
Session.
Yeah. To work all that out. Cause we're still, I mean, it's, we didn't learn Burning Wheel in one day or 1 year for that.
I wouldn't hack the game. I mean, I'd want to play it again, but I would always be looking at it to say, what about the, you know, is there something here? Is there a slight, is there another angle we can look at this to keep it from being so not, I mean, it needs to be brutal. I think that's the point, but where it's not so brutal that everybody feels like that, you know, it's just everything stacked against them.
Well, in this game, it seems like it's meant to be played in a dungeon crawl environment, in a dungeon crawl setting. And in that sense, you go through a couple rooms and then you can camp. Mm-hmm. You're not out in the middle of a swamp island where you can't camp and you're surrounded by pirates.
Well, but you still,
in a way, the setting kind of lends itself to the way the rules work into the game.
But even if you're in a dungeon, you still have to put up with the same camped.
What are they?
It breaks down into basically a standard camp, a dangerous camp. What is it? Unsafe.
What are the steps called?
It's like a standard unsafe, dangerous. So there's basically three sets, and just depending on what's going on, I mean, and it could be in a dungeon.
And then you've got certain consequences you have
to deal with. And then you've got
clean
roll.
Water. This all adds to the ob of the roll. Yeah.
Right. Right. So, but yeah, I mean, even in a dungeon. You might be able to say, I'm going to camp, but, you know, if something bad happens, you don't get to camp in the dungeon either, and you lose all your checks. If you had a disaster, you lose every check you've earned to that point.
Well, and it's the same in Mouse Guard. The mice set out from Lockhaven to go accomplish something, and the journey basically is when the GM is throwing all the challenges at you, and then you reach your destination, and then it's the player's turn, and the player roll gets rid of their conditions. You know, sniffs around town and finds who they're supposed to find and do that, and then they have their turn.
I kind of like that because it gives the GM more latitude to decide, you know, I need to pull back just a little bit here because otherwise we're looking at a TPK.
Right. And in Mouse Guard, you succeed, you fail, or you fail and you get a condition. It's not you get a condition every four things you do. Yeah. You get a condition when you fail a roll, and the GM still wants you to get what you were trying to do.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's a twist.
Okay. Jason?
I'm just listening.
He doesn't talk much. When he says something,
about time, Jason.
Profound.
One of the things that Jeff kind of commented on before that, and I guess when I went into this, I expected still more Burning Wheel-ish just because of the group that it came from, it's certainly a lot more rules regimented. I mean, the whole turn, I mean, really turn basis denotes that. But the one thing that I love about Burning Wheel and Burning Empires is, okay, what do you want to do? Well, I want to do this. All right, let's see how we can get there. And you said something about that with the skills, and it doesn't, you've got so few skills on here.
Well, and that's the other thing. I mean, I really like I love about Burning Wheel, and that I love to a point about Burning Empires, is that it is player driven.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, this goes back. I mean, again, it's a love letter to old school D&D.
It's player reactive.
Yeah, where the GM says this is the setting, and away, and you all have to react. And I'm not crazy about that. I mean, I've never been crazy about that. I like, you tell me what, you know, goes back to the whole cool factor. What do you see your characters doing? What do you want to do? It's like, what kind of group do y'all want to run? All right, let's play that. It's like the whole, when we did, Fate Accelerated.
Yeah.
I mean, I gave a setting, but I didn't have any plot, and we just started. What do y'all want to see happen? And we just go that way. And cause I find any role playing game much more enjoyable when the players say, this is the story I want to play. Mm-hmm. And we just, and I put obstacles.
Yeah. And Inspectors is that way too.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's, yes, you have the basic idea. It's why I like playing Burning Wheel and Burning Empire so much is I have an idea. Okay. Go, you know, I'll tell you where you are to start off. Now you tell me what your character's doing and what you want him or her to do. And that's, I mean, it's easy for the GM to sit there and figure that out. And then it's so much fun to sit there and watch all the crap that you think of.
Yeah. It's well, like the first game we got into and, you know, Bill was asking, well, what do we see? And I go, well, you go into this building and he wants me to, you know, and, you know, what are you looking for? You know, are you looking for a turret? Are you looking for like the barrel of water? Doug says, well, I want a barrel of water. Okay, there's a barrel of water. What do you want to do with it? You know, and it turns into, you know, you all are evolving the setting as much as anything else.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I don't like drawing maps at home. I just, Ooh, I'm going to put the kobolds here.
Some people really get into that. They love creating that world and making their character players die in it.
I used to love doing that stuff. I mean, I used to love drawing the maps and putting stuff in and, you know, but I got a job. Yeah. You know, I got a family.
Even then, it's nice to sit there and draw the map of, okay, here's the map. You know, you draw the outlines of the map and say, okay, this is your home base and this is where you need to go.
Right.
And then you let the players fill in everything in between.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Mm-hmm.
I mean, you give the broad strokes, but right. You let the players do the fine.
And I think this is all more of a discussion of style of play as opposed to, you know,
mechanics of this game.
Yeah, right. Specifically this game.
Yeah, we're pretty far afield of the resource management part at this point.
Okay, well, I think that question. Go on to the next one.
Well, no, I thought
Roy.
We answered that question.
We did.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. We did. Go on.
But I think the end point of that is, though, when you're looking at resource management, time is the biggest resource.
Yes. Yes,
time,
absolutely.
Time and checks, it's not about torches, water. Yes, you gotta have them.
It's
not about torches, water, and food.
Well, yeah. It is about that. We never got to it.
It is. But I think
time,
more driven by
if,
time.
If you're in a dungeon and you don't have a torch and it's dark,
I agree.
You're going to spend all the turns until you starve to death trying to find light.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. You're
and
absolutely
we didn't
right.
run into any of that yet.
But it seemed that whether we had water, whether we didn't have water, if you've got a torch and you don't have any water, you're still going to spend three turns trying to find one, and then you're
hungry.
You're hungry.
You're thirsty. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So now, the time is something that. Regardless of what you have of any of the others.
Water and rations are important, but for me, playing this game, you're better off realizing that turns, checks, and then your rations and water are the order you need to work or
the only
worry
thing,
about.
Yeah, the only thing you can't find, the only thing you can't, like, make a roll to discover is more time. Mm-hmm. Everything else is like, I can make a check with survival roll and find water, or I can make a survival check and make a torch, but you can't pull more time out of your ass.
or screw myself on the roll and get a checks, but then, you know, still made a turn just to get checks on a roll that you may or may not get. Mm-hmm. Probably if you gave the two of or whatever.
Yeah. So I think that's the one thing where it's, when they talk about resource management, man, that is the biggest resource. Land.
Okay. Huge tracks of land.
Next question.
Our last question is from Tom from the Knights of the Night podcast.
Hey, Tom.
And he asks, and we kind of started talking about this here, what were the main differences between Burning Wheel and Torchbearer, both the good and the bad? Time management.
Free form.
Torchbearer is, I think, a simpler system.
Yes.
There's less moving parts, but those moving parts if you get caught in them, they will grind you up.
Yeah, almost clockwork like. If you fall in those cracks, you're gone.
Yeah. Burning Wheel is very dense, very complicated, but worth every minute.
You can actually scale back more on Burning Wheel if you want. Burning Wheel, most of the problems we ran into before was with things like, we're looking at things like the density of combat. Which we never ever did.
Terrified us.
Yeah. We never wanted to.
Yeah, the combat here,
Bloody Versus, much better.
I do like the combat in Torchbearer better. I like the combat in...
How?
It's simpler.
It's much simpler.
It's much simpler.
Well, it might be simpler, but I mean, the cost is outrageously
high. Yeah, right. But the...
No, I don't know.
It's the same in Burning Wheel.
If you get knocked, if you're, disposition gets knocked down to one in Burning Wheel, you're just as screwed as you are in Torchbearer, and don't make no mistake. Mm. You all just never got knocked down that low.
We never did the full combat. We always did Bloody Versus.
Which I like better.
They came out with the Burning Wheel, what is Deluxe or whatever?
Gold.
Hold on. And he,
that's it right there.
Came up with the new combat rules, and we even did the combat rules at
Gen Con
one year when they came out with that. And
yeah, we watched them play one night.
It was...
We actually... You and I played, Jeff, one time.
I didn't.
It must have been me and Todd.
I thought it was you. Yeah, we actually sat there and ran through a combat, which, you know, when you've got someone who knows the rules...
Oh, you're talking
so
about on the floor.
On the floor.
Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah, it was real. I mean, it was, okay, I'm going to try and take out the armor on the shoulder, and now I'm going to take the armor out on the legs. Yeah, before you ever got to trying to hurt the guy.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's the combat in Torchbearer is
just as serious, but easier.
What do you got? Attack, defend, feint, and maneuver.
Yeah. It's so much more complicated and daunting, and it's not the stuff that I love about Burning Wheel.
No,
but strangely enough, the conflict system in Torchbearer I loved because it takes the simplicity of Mouse Guard. You've got four basic maneuvers that interact. And in Burning Wheel, how many do you have? Like six, seven?
Yeah, there's a lot.
Yeah, and so it's six, and you know, you're like, let's go to the chart, and you got to compare everything. I mean, it's not bad. It's just not as elegant. And I do like the conflict system in Torchbearer. I think it's much simpler. And they basically say, look, you can have any kind of conflict, and here's how you adapt it. You just pick the two skills, and one's a maneuver, and one's a, and just do it that way. So you could basically do any kind of fight using the Torchbearer system. Trying to hack that into Burning Wheel, good luck.
Okay. Character creation. It's very different between the two.
Oh, it's much easier in Torchbearer.
Yeah, it's much easier. Is it?
It's also a lot more constrained in Torchbearer.
It is. It's a lot, which makes it easier.
And yet, at the same time, I find them both very satisfying.
Yeah. I like the Burning Wheel. I like, it's a game within itself.
Yes.
You know, when you get done with your character, you know who that character is.
Upside down, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think Torchbearer, you get, when you go through and you do the characters, I think you get a quick character that's playable and you have a sense of who they are. In Burning Wheel, Burning Empires, when you get done building that character, you know where that character's been, you know what they've been through. And then you get the beliefs and boom, you know exactly what that character's about. So I think I'd probably give the edge to Burning Wheel as far as, because I think it appeals to the, they're going in different directions.
Edge,
do you mean you like it more?
I like it more. Okay. Yeah. I like it more.
I like it more, but Torchbearer is easier.
Much easier.
Oh,
sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Sure. I find the Burning Wheel system much more fulfilling. I would like it more if they would release an app to help me do it.
No. Luke likes you to flip pages, remember?
I know. But there are
And
some...
that's, hold on, that is one important difference between Burning Wheel and Torchbearer. Burning Wheel is Luke Crane. Torchbearer is Tor.
Well, you can't, and that's the thing. I mean, Burning Wheel or Torchbearer, you can get in PDF.
Yep.
Love that aspect of it. I wish I could get Burning Wheel in PDF.
Nope.
You get Burning Empires in PDF. Love that.
Yep.
And, you know, I buy it all day long, twice on Sunday. I don't download anything illegally. I go and get it because I want it and I like to have it. I put it on a Kindle and I take it anywhere and read it.
You got your Beatles collection on that you downloaded for me?
I don't know who you're talking to. I do not do that, sir.
We can't really compare the magic system, although I do remember, Joe, were you a magic user in Burning Wheel?
Briggs. Okay. Briggs.
Yeah, that's right, Briggs. That was kind of a crazy magic system, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Well, there are different systems you could pick.
Yeah.
The art magic system, that's the one that Bill always used, and I always liked that system. Yeah. It was neat. He just, you know, I always liked when he did it.
We always seem to want to talk our way out of everything, though, I mean.
And sometimes you should, because otherwise you end up getting killed.
Yeah.
Because the combat is deadly in both systems.
Yeah. Or you talk your way out of it and then give up all your gold.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you,
there's a consequence to everything, even if you sit there and talk.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
Not if you win decisively.
What are the odds of winning decisively when you're evenly matched to begin with? I mean, it's just...
I didn't mean... For, well...
So I guess if we're looking...
Y'all would have been much better if you just attacked those guys. That would have been great.
Oh, okay.
I think y'all would have kicked their butts if you just attacked them.
Yeah, okay.
You wouldn't argue with them. I was like, oh, that's
TPK,
in their...
TPK, one night.
That's in their nature.
So if we're looking to boil it down, I guess Torchbearer is just streamlined, but not necessarily in the best way.
I mean, I don't know if I put it that way. Torchbearer is a simpler system.
Yeah.
The way I look at it is the way I was thinking about it. If you're coming from, say, a Dungeons & Dragons background, I think Torchbearer would be a great introduction
Burning Wheel.
To Burning Wheel. Mm-hmm.
It's a good point.
But I, honestly, I think Mouse Guard's probably a better introduction.
Well, but you get into the whole...
Some people don't want to play mice.
The turn thing and stuff, but... But
and
I don't, I mean,
this
I,
actually, Torchbearer also, you get your humans, elves, halflings, dwarves.
Yeah.
Things.
Yeah. Sorry, which Jeff. Is something I always wanted. I mean, I when a Mouse Guard came, I was like, man, I'd love to see this system with humans, dwarves, halflings, and elves.
Yeah.
So. And orcs.
Okay. Well, why don't we go around the room, give, last thoughts on Torchbearer.
Torchbearer, for me, Joe. I liked it okay. It was okay. It's not going to be for everybody. It was frustrating at times, but, you know, it was rewarding. I prefer Burning Wheel. I think there's more that you can do. Like when you did Witherskate, I mean, you basically took the four races and made like a crazy, almost airship steampunk version of, you know, a core book that was designed with the fantasy archetypes, but you can do kind of different stuff with Burning Wheel. For Torchbearer, it seems a little bit more confined in that this is a dungeon crawl. This is, you know, an ode to the classics and all that. So if you're really into that stuff, I think Torchbearer is great and, you know, challenging and fun, and you roll lots of dice and, you know, you're going to fail a lot, but I prefer Burning Wheel, but Torchbearer is a good game. Luke, bring back Free Market.
Jeff?
I like Torchbearer. But a lot of games, that I like, I don't know that I would see running a Torchbearer campaign for, you know, 2 years.
Yeah.
Whereas a Burning Wheel campaign, if the GM's into it, yeah. I mean, if you just want to be in there for the long haul, man, it's.
It took us like 3 months before we got into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In Witherskate.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I like Torchbearer. I recommend it. I think people ought to give it a shot. I just want them to understand when they go in that there's a mechanic to it that can be frustrating if you don't have buy-in from all the players at the table.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody has to understand, you know, this is not a game about being cool. This is a game about a slog. I mean, you're going to go in and you have to screw yourself over. And people who, you know, min-maxers and people who want to have their character with a great magic items and looking cool and dropping armies, you know, with a swipe of their sword. This isn't a game for them. I mean, this is more along the lines. I mean, I've never played Cthulhu, but this is more along the lines of like a Cthulhu game, because you are just fighting against, entropy, the entire time.
Todd?
I like Torchbearer. I think a lot of it has to do with how much freedom that as a player you are given to do what you want to do or what you can do. I think overall I do prefer the Burning Wheel system and the Burning Empires, just because again, it goes back to the what do you want to do? Where do you want to be? And then we'll figure out a way to get there. And I didn't see that as much in this, just because of the turn-based system. But it's not a bad system. I don't think it is. Again, as with Burning Wheel, it's not for everybody. I would like to play it some more. I think once we all, I mean, what, like I said, five sessions,
yeah.
And we were still getting used to it, and it took us 3 months to figure out Burning Wheel. And we gave it a lot more time just because we were willing to try it. I don't know. It almost seems like we're less willing to try this because we know the other things that are out there that are kind of similar to this, and especially from the Burning Wheel folks.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I mean, I'd like to go on with it for a while just to see where it goes. Cause I was enjoying myself where it was heading. You know, you want yourself to be cool. It is the slog, like Jeff said, but then you have to wrap your head around that when you're standing in front of the Pirate King and you've got nothing on, essentially. And you got to figure out, well, I can't attack him. What else am I going to do? And I don't know. Once you wrap your head around that part of it, then it's not bad. I mean, I enjoyed it and would like to go on with it.
Jason?
Well, I wasn't here for much of the Torchbearer because I missed about half of it. But what I did like about Torchbearer is difference between that and Burning Wheel in my eyes was you worked better as a group in Torchbearer.
Yeah.
Even if you weren't trying to, or if you were trying to screw somebody over and try to get a check, it still would benefit the party. Right, because one, you need it for cooking or healing or whatever somebody else needed.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's a good point.
In Burning Wheel, it's more individual. Let's see how we can spin that story.
And in Burning Empires.
Right.
Very individual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and that was the other thing. I mean, Todd mentioned also when he said Burning Empires, and Burning Empires is sort of ground up, but you're still fighting the meta campaign, like the resource management of the Valen are coming.
Mm-hmm.
That type of thing. So you're still working against that, which is kind of what the time is here. But Jason, did you have anything else?
No, I mean, that's what I enjoyed most because I enjoy the games where everybody's at least on the same page and trying to do the same thing.
Yeah.
Because once you get off on that tangent where somebody's, I'm going to mess with him
have
just because I can do
with us?
Well, hold on. Even when Doug messed you over, I messed you over too in the same conflict, but you keep blaming Doug,
well,
which is fine.
You keep blaming Doug.
Well,
but out of that, I got a check. Which helped him get his healing back.
Yeah.
I mean, even though I was messing with you, there was still a benefit for me to do it. And the story plot still moved in the same direction.
Yeah.
And see, that's one of the things I think they say in the book is the,
Well, they come right out and say it, and do not split the party.
Well, they say parties that work against each other won't last. I mean, you will die if you get into it with each other, basically. All right. Doug?
I don't feel like I really figured out how to play this game until the last game we played.
Thanks, Doug.
Walking away from this, I feel like Burning Wheel is the game where the characters are supposed to win. That Burning Empires is the game where you're not going to win the long game. And this game feels like the game you're not going to win the short game. This game feels to me like you're going to lose. So, deal with the fact that you're going to have a character who's going to last for X number of games, and then you're bringing in a new character.
It's only first through fifth level. What's that tell you?
I know. So that's what I would say. If you're looking for the kind of game that you want to be the hero and you want to win, this isn't the game.
Yeah.
If you're looking for the game where I want to die as horribly and as most spectacular as possible while feeling absolutely cold and alone in the dark, this is the game for
me. No, I don't even know if it's spectacular.
I think
the problem with this game is it lends itself to ignominious demise.
And next on Mr. Rogers.
Yeah, it's like, all right, you're cold and you're hungry and you collapse and you're alone in the dark and you do anything. Yes, I try to start a fire. You fail. Oh, fourth
and
turn
you
and you're dead.
Right.
You know.
That's true.
It doesn't lend itself to going out in a big ball of fire.
Right.
What about you, Roy?
Well, I kind of agree with Doug. It kind of felt like we were starting to get a handle on it, but I also thought we ended in a good spot. But as far as the game itself goes, there are certain aspects I really did like character creation. I really enjoyed it. Like what Jason was talking about, the fact that the party is on the same page and working on the same goal. But when it came down to it, the more I played Torchbearer, the more I decided I really wanted to go back to playing Burning Wheel.
Yeah.
I really did.
Well, and because y'all both said we didn't give it enough time, we had never encountered a system like Burning Wheel until we played it.
That's true. I mean,
and
the game before that was Pathfinder.
And just simply figuring out how the game, you're like, okay, what's a belief? How does this work in? And we actually, I mean, that's when Bill joined our group because he had played before.
And
like,
kudos.
Bill, would you come and help us with this, please?
Kudos to Bill for walking us through exactly what beliefs and you know, instincts really were.
So, but do I think we gave this enough time? Probably not.
Oh, and
do
and
I
and
think we
need
to give it 3 months?
I would like to play.
You
well,
will. Don't worry. Won't happen.
I don't think you could give it 3 months.
Well, to be honest, most gaming groups don't only play for a couple hours. Okay. They usually play for about 4 hours a session. Okay. So I think we could probably go for another 5 sessions easy on this and get to a point where either we're all dead, but maybe some of us have our shoes and we're fine with that. And I, you know, I would like to, I'm not saying I don't want to play this again. I would like to play this again. I would like to see a little bit more about where the story was going. I would like to give it some more runtime. But at the same time, I can still see myself not really wanting to play this a whole lot in the future. At the same time, the book is fantastic.
There's a lot of same times.
The book is beautiful. Oh, I'm loving having this on a space on my shelf. I mean, right next to Burning Wheel. I mean, these are nice books.
Next to all the other books that you haven't opened yet, right?
Yeah.
A lot of cellophane on that shelf.
No, there's not any cellophane on that shelf.
Yeah,
they all get opened right away.
There's a lot of regret and loneliness on that shelf.
That's the other shelf where there's a whole lot of 3-0 stuff still. Yeah. I can't sell or give away.
On that top shelf's a boat. Over there's a lake house at Rough River. There's your vacation.
I
kind
of like
home.
I don't know. I think the end of it is, you know, try Torchbearer. Just understand what kind of game it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, cause it's brutal.
Yeah.
It's very brutal.
I want to say this also. I didn't play first edition. Okay, so I've got no long lost love for first edition or anything like that.
Let me tell you something. First edition. When I had, it was a big deal. I mean, of course, when I was like 10, 9, 10. Right. It was a big deal when I finally got a character to third level.
Oh yeah.
That was huge.
Understand something. When you started a campaign, if we all started a campaign today and then we fleshed that through and then we started another campaign, you started at first level. You didn't just arbitrarily start at third level.
Yeah.
Or fifth level.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
First level, zero, what are you?
And if you died,
you're dead.
Your first level, everybody else is fifth or sixth, yeah. And you got to catch up.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah. No. What I'm getting at though is, I think I went into this system thinking, oh, this is going to be like 3.5 with resource management, and it's not. It's not anything near that. And I was just getting a lot of that shaken out of my head, which is why I would like to play this again. Not right now. I'm kind of at a spot where I'm fine right now, and I kind of stop.
Oh, you know what the other thing that it does? Like, you remember how in first edition you had to, if you leveled up, you had to go and train.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh,
yeah.
You.
Yeah.
Jesus, Mary and Joseph.
So if you were second level, you just didn't go, I'm second level.
You had to get out of the dungeon, go back to town.
Find somebody to train. If you were, let's say you
hey, this is
seventh,
serious, man. Why are you laughing?
From seventh to eighth. You had to find and pay like a 12th level to train you for 4 months before
wow.
You go back.
I mean, we kind of skipped around with a lot of those rules.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was in the rules.
Wow.
And initiative was screwed up. And then before they even figured out Thaco, you had the charts and stuff. So, I mean, it was a mess. This is much cleaner than that.
Okay, well, that's our assessment of Torchbearer.
Yeah, and I apologize to anybody who thought that, holy, like, where's the next, you know, where's the next?
It's a,
yeah, where's
it's
the next,
a cliffhanger.
Where's the next? Yeah, it's a cliffhanger.
Where's the damn kid?
I think
we're going to do it. I think we're going to get back to the kid.
We will.
Okay, well, all right, well, we'll do that. We'll
right after we get back to Weatherscape.
Hey, that's not my fault. I tried to get y'all to go back to Weatherscape forever, and
when?
I still got
2007.
I still got I. You all still have to take. What's your guy's name? Joe.
Joe. What's your character's name in Weatherscape?
The
Riggs.
Nope.
No.
Griff.
Oh, it was the cap. It was the captain.
Yeah,
he doesn't even remember the name. And he was the one. He was the one who that whole story arc that last story. It was going to be his story.
That's right. That was the big plan, was to go back and
go back
deal
to the Isle,
Misty
Isles.
Uh-huh. I'm looking up Obsidian Portal.
Oh no, Joe has forgotten his character's name. All right, so what's next?
Next, we're going to go and play a few games of Weird Wars Rome. Okay.
And that's Pinnacle Games.
It's Pinnacle Games. It's Savage World. It was kickstarted last summer.
We love Savage World.
We love Savage World.
Chief Greco.
There we go.
Chief Greco. Does he sell insurance?
No.
That'd be Chief Geico.
Oh, right.
So we're gonna play a few games of Weird Wars Rome, just because we love Savage World. We're gonna cleanse our palate and then we're gonna play something else. I see it going 4, maybe 5 sessions. Yep.
Bill had said, now we don't know what Bill's status is, and we miss you, Bill. If you're listening, please come back.
He's not listening. He has better things to do.
But Bill had said that he wanted to run another Burning Empire or Burning Wheel game. Does anybody else have anything?
Doug?
I got an idea for a Fate Core game.
Okay. And I wouldn't mind trying to go back and doing Fate again.
I would like to do some more Fate. I really would.
I would like to run an extended Mouse Guard campaign where we roll up our own mice.
Okay.
Extended?
Yeah. Well, you know, that would be kind of neat.
Because we always go from these three same mice, and we do the same ones out of the book. I would like to actually roll up mice and play one for 6 or 8 sessions.
Okay.
Well, that's not that extended.
Yeah, when you say extended.
Okay, 12, whatever.
No, I mean,
wherever the story
goes. I think that would be kind of interesting. I wouldn't mind, while this is still fresh, our Torchbearer game, maybe after we do Savage Worlds, you guys, I mean, cause I want to play Fate Core too.
Let's go Fate Core.
But you guys
Savage
duke
Worlds.
It out and then maybe we figure out cause I would love to go back. I'd love to try a Mouse Guard game.
A modern. I don't think we've done a modern anything.
We have.
I'd rather do no offense, Joe.
No, I'm just saying, like, put it in the hopper maybe for later.
So now we talk. You're on deck.
Absolutely.
Sweet. So start prepping.
Wow, Doug's gonna run a game.
I know.
I can't wait. I've never played in a Doug game ever.
I have. They're
a lot
of fun.
Wait a minute. We've got one in the can, don't we? We have your.
We have.
That one's never been released.
Never been released. It's never been edited. So.
Yeah, Doug ran, and that to be fair, Doug's never run. We play Wednesday nights. Doug's never run a Wednesday night game, but he did run a fun game, based on,
Fallout.
But he said it in Louisville.
Savage Worlds.
It's, you know.
Hell on Earth.
Hell on Earth, Savage Worlds. You know, kind of a mixture of the two. And, it was pretty fun.
Yeah.
I had a good time with that. But it's never been released. And I think Roy's
because
just,
you were playing the kid that we all wanted to kill.
Scott.
But Roy's got that. Scott, and actually, if he ever, Scott, he's got a it's the unreleased Rusak Gamer episode. Well, and actually, it's funny because while Joe's not in those and Bill's not in those. Hobie's in it. Eric's in it. And Chuck's in it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And the rest of the Rusak Gamers who generally aren't get recorded.
Yeah.
I think you only recorded about the first 6 episodes.
The first 3.
First 3.
But they're each 6 hours long.
Yeah.
So.
Rusak Gamers, the lost
part. Oh, so it didn't get all the way to the end when,
No.
He stopped recording it.
Oh.
No, cause it was
once
crazy.
Once he decided he wasn't gonna edit it.
No, once I'm still planning on editing and releasing.
Well, if he edits, he's gotta split it down. He's gotta split it
2 hours chunks.
So he's got about 12 shows.
Yeah.
Oh, but it wasn't the entire campaign, which cause I love the arc of that game. I just.
That's to be aired during our summer hiatus. Right?
whenever we decide we want to quit and I've still got plenty of time on GoDaddy, then I can just keep releasing.
Yeah, we say, look, Roy, we're gonna take a break for a few months here. Go ahead and release those and we'll come back.
No, I quit recording because we weren't playing in my basement and I had to pack everything up. And when I was just using a laptop and the orb.
Way.
And the orb. It was fine, but then I started getting all the microphones and everything and it was just a great big pain in the rear.
Yeah, tookish.
Okay, so anyways. We got all that. We're gonna play Weird Wars Rome.
Well, thanks for listening.
And
please send more questions in. We like
Yeah, we like questions.
So are we gonna bother with doing any kind of character generation episode? Or are we just gonna talk about that offline?
Oh, well, I think what we can do, the premise of the story is that you guys have never met until the beginning of the adventure. In Weird Wars Rome, you can't take an arcane background at the beginning. You have to wait until you find something weird. Okay. So all your characters are gonna well, he's weird enough. All the characters are going to start off with 20 XP, which will get you to seasoned. You can take an arcane background with your 4th advance. Okay? 20 XP gives you 4 advances. The 4th advance can be your arcane background. The point is that you guys have never met and you've individually run across something weird while serving in the Roman legions. And you've all been called to service. You don't know what your adventure is yet. You're just meeting when you're on the boat.
Okay, more practically.
Uh-huh.
Who's going to be what?
Yeah,
who wants to
what
do what?
Roles are we going to play so we don't all show up with tanks or?
We'll be four tribunes and a fighter and no healer.
Tribune? Yeah. Like newspapers?
More like politicians. Yeah. Noble politicians.
Oh, that's right.
Well, you don't see that in the Senate.
You, the arcane background, there's only one. It's, I believe it's called the Cult of Mithras. Mm. Okay. And it's basically all your magic using.
Sounds like
stuff.
A bunch of bull to me.
Right together. And, oh, you got the floppy version. Nice.
Doug, excuse you. Yeah.
Doug's copy is a little limp.
My book's a grower.
And, I got the hardback, Todd.
I'm working off the
Todd,
PDF on a Kindle.
Hardback
PDF.
PDF. Okay.
Now correct me if I'm wrong. Uh-huh. I'm looking through the, occupations on page 12.
Yeah.
Those following along at home. there are essentially a legionary that's divided into two. I never took Latin, so it's Hestadian Precipes and then a Triare.
Hold on, what page are you on?
12. Page 12. There's four.
I'm bringing out my book.
There's actually four.
The four? Okay, and Velites?
Elites?
V-E-L-I-T-E-S.
Velites?
Yeah, they're more like skirmishers with javelins.
Yeah, are we playing in a specific time period?
Yes, you're playing in the time period. I can't remember the precise dates. It is around the time when Rome is withdrawing from Britain.
Because of the Germanic tribes attacking. The
Celts, not so much the Germans because you're on the British Isles.
Okay.
I want to say 70.
Can we dress like we're in the 80s?
If you want to, yes. You can dress exactly like you're in the 80s.
So the decline, is that 180 to 305? Is that what you're looking at?
The pages?
No, page 37.
The years.
Okay.
But it marks
it is
the
a thick book over
180
here.
And 305.
Flavian, the decline, 180. Yeah, it's post Five Good Men.
Okay.
I'll have to double check exactly when, but yeah.
But if we're
actually, I thought it was closer to 180.
Flavian's like 70 AD. That's like destruction of Israel, that kind of thing, and Masada and all that.
Yeah, actually, it's got to be closer to 100 because I was actually working in an idea from Masada in the backstory.
Mm.
Okay, so you essentially have three. What did you say, Jason? Four
drinking problem.
There are four legionaries.
Yeah, four legionaries. So essentially, four fighter classes, and then you've got a decanus, which is a basic non-com officer.
What page are you looking at?
Page 12.
Sorry,
Hestati and Principes requirements. The Triari requirements, the Vilite requirements.
Now, does somebody want to be, I mean, does this have like a leader and then?
Well, I mean, you've different. The Triari is, like they said, the shock troops. They're not front line per se, but they're more.
Skirmishers?
No. The skirmishers were more the Vilites.
Vilites were light infantry equipped with javelins used as skirmishers. Their job was to harass and break up infantry charges, then retreat behind the safety of the more heavily armored main line.
Which is the first two ranks, which is the Hestati and the Principes.
Now, is this something we're going to be dealing with, like big combats? Are we going to be like a strike force kind of thing?
It'll be more of a strike force. If someone wants to be a big heavy bruiser, that'd be great.
The only thing looking at this that I don't think is going to be beneficial to, if one of us is cavalry.
I would strongly dissuade you from taking cavalry. Yeah, cavalry's not going to be useful.
Equites, so we're not doing those.
So then you've got a tribune, which are nobles who have earned their status through their family. Some serve as commanders while other are aides or staff officers to the Legion's commander, again, page 13.
Right.
Officer school, lieutenant. Yeah.
And then you have auxilia, which is auxilia infantry.
Ranged auxilia are used to harass, delay, or attack the flanks. Cohortes are very much like the legions themselves.
I may try, there's always a
medicus.
There's a type I like to try to play, when I'm not.
Halfling?
Yeah, what is the halflingus?
Okay, there's not halflings, but you're in Britain, so would you like to play a leprechaun?
Of course I would. No, what
always have to meet Lucky Charms.
There's always have to meet Lucky Charms. I like to try the. I always like the build that's lucky with with leadership and stuff. So you get a bunch of chips that you can share with people. I always like using that build.
Okay.
So I mean that's kind of the build I use with Scott.
Then what you would I'm
probably
looking at the
Decanus
right here.
Yeah, the Decanus
because he's a
the Decanus is a
yeah. Because responsible for overseeing the contubernium.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Of 8 men and a servant. So that
who's the servant?
Unlike military tribunes, Decani have worked their way up the ranks through hard work and experience.
I don't know if I want to do that. I think I might want to do the tribune. I think my men to despise me.
There's also a gladiator.
Gladiators.
Yeah. Which I think is pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah.
Medic.
Kind of the healer. Yeah.
Is anybody thinking about playing the Medicus?
No. I'm not.
Well, Medicus, if you take it, I mean, that would, you would probably want to gear your character to eventually taking the, arcane background.
I might take Medicus if nobody else is interested.
I am not.
Anybody interested in the medic?
No. Nope.
It's all you. Playing the cleric?
Yeah.
All right.
And then the Speculatores is just a scout.
I'm not saying I'm going to do that, yeah. But I like playing. I like being able to share the bennies, but medic is helpful too. And well, I know there are other people here. I know there are a couple people like, I'm going to be a gladiator, damn it, and that's going to be it. You know, I just want to come in and hit stuff, Jason.
Well, looking at this, does anybody have a preference at this point other than Jeff, who's already
It'll be a Tribune or a Decanus with that build.
Okay.
Or a Medicus, unless somebody wants to be a Medicus.
I wanted to try the Medicus.
Oh, okay. Jason will do the Medicus. Okay, cool.
I'll play the ranged infantry. Auxilia infantry.
Joe?
Auxilia.
No preference.
Whatever.
All right. My preference is a Triari.
We'll need a fighter, though.
That's what
most of them are fighters.
No, I mean we're gonna need like a fighter, like
it. What, like a
legionary
tank
gladiator?
Yeah,
yeah, like
a Triari is the shock troops. That's what I'd like. That's me.
Yeah, they actually go through like the Hastati and the Principes requirements, the Triari requirements, strength D6 plus a D6 or higher, vigor D8 higher, fighting D8 higher, equipment, and then they give you the Lorica, the metal helmet. The Clipeus, which I don't know, and Gladius, that's your sword.
There is going to be a steep language learning curve, isn't there? Yeah.
Yeah, that'll probably go the wayside.
I attack with my sword and magic helmet.
Gladius.
My spear and magic helmet.
That's
your Lorica is essentially your armor.
Sounds like a big fish.
Metal helmet, I think it's pretty explanatory.
Metal helmet. Metal. What is this metal helmet of which you speak?
I have no idea what a Delabre is.
A metal helmet.
Oh, I don't know what a Delabre is. Or I don't know what a Clipeus is.
Tie that, you know, just
clip on?
Yeah. A Clipeus is a medium shield.
Oh, okay.
And what was the other one?
Delabre. There's a dictionary or a lexicon
I'm
in here.
I'm looking at it.
Yeah.
So.
A Delabre is a tool with a pick on one end and a small shovel or hoe on the other.
Oh, zombie killer. They actually go into the Roman names. The Roman names are in three parts. Your praenomen. Your praenomen, your gnomon, and your cognomen.
Your what?
Cognomen.
Hey, man, you're not touching my cognomen.
C-O-G. Okay, so we know that Jeff doesn't get any more Irish whiskey.
Flashes.
There you go. Okay, what else do you want to know?
So how do we pick our gear and all that?
Depending on what your occupation is, you get set gear.
Are you going to give us any money to buy stuff?
I'll take a look at that and see what I can do.
Okay.
I'll probably just play a legionary.
There is no cost associated with these when I'm looking at the military equipment. It's just a weight.
Sieges, there will be a siege.
Ooh.
Spoils, travel.
Does anybody want character sheets? Because I noticed that they do have these.
I posted them to y'all, too. I sent the link out to y'all.
Yeah, they've got the, it's on Hero Lab, too.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, so.
Oh, sweet.
So if anybody wants the sheets, you can. I've got extra sheets here.
Hero Lab. So 20 points and.
Jeff, what is the thing in Savage Worlds where you have something in between game sessions?
Oh, Interludes.
Interludes.
It's in the Savage Worlds Deluxe and the, yeah. And the other ones.
I think there's a special interlude in here. I was trying to find it and I can't find it right off the top. If I can find it and if it's what I think it is, we might actually start with an interlude with you guys on the ship.
So one of us will have to tell us something about themselves.
You might all have to.
Really?
Yeah.
Interlude's just one person. Then you start.
Yeah, I know, but I think they have a different one in this. And of course, I could be wrong. In Weird Wars Rome specifically, it might be a little different, and I just can't seem to.
Page 50, buddy.
Page 50?
What's it say?
Campaign interludes.
There we go.
Ooh. Yeah, see, I haven't read this book yet.
Campaign. Sometimes a war maker. Where is it?
War master.
War master. Sometimes a war master might want to pass time during a long campaign. The interlude rules from Savage Worlds work well for traveling, but some adjustments are required to cover several seasons or even years of actual campaigning. Use the normal rules for interludes with two exceptions. First, each player draws a card and narrates a tale. See? Second, use the table below rather than the usual interlude table. So we're going to start with that, where everyone's going to...
You might want to read through this, though, because there's a chance to earn some more hindrances.
There's a chance to more hindrances and gear and spoils. And spoils are nice.
Yeah, hindrances suck, though.
Yeah, well...
It's like a deck of many things. I ain't doing it.
But I'll take a look at it and see if we need to bend it to
standard 15 points. Go up from the D4s.
20 points. Oh, you start with 15.
And yeah. then
you level up to...
And then you level up. And if you do want to do an arcane background, Jason, take it with your last advance. Okay. Which means you can't take, you know, extra spells or whatever, things like that.
You take the arcane one on your last.
Yeah, your last advance.
From 15 to 20.
And there are some things you can't take. We'll have to deal with that too.
Like weird science?
Yeah, weird science.
Weird
is right
scientist.
Ahead.
Well, if you have Hero Lab, it restricts all that stuff.
Yeah.
I get my gyrocopter.
Who has Hero Lab? I know.
I have. I do. Okay. I have Hero Lab. I've got I got Realmworks.
Love
Realmworks. That's the DM version, and I was actually trying to work with it a little bit so I could actually do some of this stuff in Realmworks to see how it works. Well, you had to be in the Kickstarter right now.
You had to be in the Kickstarter, Todd.
It's not been released yet. It's the RC version. The RC one is out to Kickstarter right now, so it should be ready to drop at the end of this month, is what they said.
You had to be in the Kickstarter.
So. Yeah, buddy.
Gotta know the secret handshake.
Yeah. Okay,
Gen
so.
It's gonna get to be where if you weren't in the Kickstarter, you don't even get to go in.
Well, maybe I'll get the hotel I want if that's the case.
Yeah, no.
No. Actually, I got the hotel I wanted this year. Alright, I did. I did. Okay, anything else, guys?
No.
No.
Alright, everyone say goodnight.
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 And that's the end of our Torchbearer campaign for now. Oh, and we mentioned Realmworks during the episode. It is now available from Lone Wolf. Look for the link in our show notes. Come back next week for the start of our Weird Wars Rome game. In the meantime, tell us what you thought of Torchbearer. Voicemail us 502-4141-RUE. That's 502-4141-766. Like us on Facebook. The address is facebook.com/RusackGamers. Follow us on Twitter. Our handle is @RSGROY. Say nice things about us on iTunes. And do whatever goes on over at Google+. Finally, for legal reasons, I must remind you that you've been listening to an actual play podcast by the Rusack Gamers. This production is wholly owned by its creators and is distributed under the Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Unported License. The opening song is Betty Betty by the Nunchucks. Torchbearer's copyright 2013, Tor Olavsrud. This game is based on previous work by Luke Crane, and all previous work is used with kind permission.